Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Is a Hebrew word that means, oh, save. The Jewish people used this word to praise Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. As they waved palm branches and spread their coats on the road, they shouted, Hosanna!
From Matthew 21, verses 9 and 11, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the multitude said, this is Jesus.
John the Baptist, a prophet, to teach people that Jesus really was God's Son and their Savior. John the Baptist was different from other people. His food was locusts and wild honey, and his clothes were made from animal fur. John was a good teacher. He taught the people to share their food and clothes. He also taught them about baptism. Do only good. Stop doing bad things, said John. Sometimes people thought John was Jesus. No, John would tell them, I have come to get you ready for Jesus. He is much greater than I am.
Love.
just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Greetings, Paul.
Salutations, Governor.
Are they treating you all right?
Well, I have no complaints whatsoever.
Having many visitors these days.
A few.
I suppose some of them are influential and wealthy. Remember what I said about your needing freedom while I need money.
I remember.
Good. Well, I'll come again soon. Perhaps we can talk some more about God, laws, money, and...
For two full years, Paul remained in prison. Governor Felix visited him several times and listened attentively to Paul's words. The governor kept slyly intimating that a large sum of money might secure Paul's release. The apostle, however, was of too noble a nature to free himself by a bribe. He also felt that he was in the hands of God, and he would not interfere with divine purposes respecting himself. Governor Felix's unscrupulous rule, his violent and cruel nature, his disregard for law and order finally caught up with him.
Drusilla.
Yes, my dear. Oh, something's happened. What?
I've been summoned to Rome by the emperor himself.
Relative to what?
Me.
So they finally caught up with you?
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by that?
Have you forgotten so quickly?
Forgotten what?
You and me. Neither one of us lives according to the principles we were taught to believe and live by. Mm-hmm. I'm an Israelite, a princess, yet I don't live by Israelite standards. And you are governor, ruling a great number of people. But you don't rule according to the laws set down by Rome. We discussed this and agreed to do as we pleased. Remember now?
Yes.
When do you have to go to Rome?
Right away.
Who is accusing you? And of what?
The Israelites. I greatly wronged them and their religion.
You'll get a fair trial. You may not be found guilty.
Well, I'm going to do something before I leave for Rome that might help a little in regaining the confidence of the Israelites. I'm going to leave Paul in prison and reduce his freedom. That should please the Israelites.
It would please them more if you would just kill Paul. But of course you can't do that. It is strictly forbidden by Roman law.
Yes, I know.
I'll be in the gallery listening, and I'll meet you right here after it's all over.
Unless I'm found guilty and taken to the death cell.
You won't, and I'll meet you right here.
I'm disgraced.
At least you were released.
But they've removed me from the governorship. What would people say and think? Perhaps all this wouldn't have happened had I treated Paul right and had I become a Christian.
I wouldn't say that. Don't even think it. The emperor has disgraced us, this I will admit, but it's not the end. They said at the trial that you were despotic, evil. All right, let's be what they say we are.
What?
Let's show them what real evil is.
Whatever you say, dear.
What'd I tell you, Lieutenant? Felix refused to listen to the voice of God when he had the chance. Now he'll never again get the chance. He is mine, all mine. I will lead him down the long road to destruction, and he will drag others with him.
I, Nero, Emperor of Rome and Roman provinces, do hereby appoint you, Porcius Festus, to the office of Procurator of Judea, with headquarters in Caesarea. So be it.
You were sergeant under Felix?
Yes, sir.
Then you can bring me up to date, as it were, on conditions and the feeling of the people, and anything else that will help me give Judea a wise and just administration.
Well, I'll try to, sir.
Be objective, Sergeant. Army personnel aren't supposed to have personal opinions.
Yes, sir.
Tell me first, what special factions, if any, do I have to deal with outside of the Israelites? I know they're a problem.
As far as I know, sir, there are only two. One is a band of assassins calling themselves the Sicarii.
Are they a serious threat?
They're beginning to be, sir. And then there's quite a following of a false prophet. They are unscrupulous and vicious. These two groups should be dealt with immediately and with firmness.
Anything else of importance, Sergeant?
No, sir. Yes, there is. I almost forgot. There's a prisoner, sir. He's getting to be quite aged. He's been in prison for 2 years now. And everyone says he's not a criminal and shouldn't even be in prison.
It is not Rome's policy to keep a man in jail who isn't a criminal. I'm going to Jerusalem in a day or two. When I return, I shall surely investigate and hear his case.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Shine, gonna let it shine, 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 gonna let it shine. I'm gonna,
this little light of mine,
light,
I'm gonna let it shine,
gonna let it
this
shine.
Little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine,
shine,
let it shine, let it shine, let it shine,
shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it
under a bushel, no,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Never gonna hide it under a bushel, no,
I'm gonna let it shine,
let it shine,
let it shine,
let it shine,
shine, shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Blow, 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 never let it blow, blow, blow it out.
Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine,
let it shine,
let it shine,
let it
shine, shine, shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Shine, shine, shine.
Let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it
shine. Shine, shine,
let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it
shine. Shine, shine,
let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it
shine. Shine, shine,
let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it
shine. Shine, 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 shine.
Lots of people who feel that they can't make a difference in the world for Jesus because they think they're not important enough or that they don't have much to give.
But everybody can make a difference when we let God take control. The Bible says that we need to let our light shine before others so God will be glorified.
So if you feel insignificant, don't hide your light. Even if it's small, it'll make a big difference with Jesus.
You feel like you can't hold a candle to those more important than you. And though you work for Jesus' sake, what difference does it make? Others outshine all you do, but like a flame glowing in total darkness, God's burning love shines through you. So though you're small, remember just a little light.
I'd certainly hate to sit next to him on a bus.
What about in a canoe?
No way.
Do you know what I think?
Usually, no.
I think that cows can teach us a lot about health.
How?
Well, look at him. Does he look sick?
No.
Does he look like a weakling?
No.
Does he look tired and depressed?
I don't think so. He looks kind of contented.
Exactly. That's one happy cow.
So what's so strange about that?
Well, look at what he's eating.
Grass?
Yes, and a few flowers, bushes, leaves, and other stuff growing in the ground.
That's what cows eat.
That's my point. Big cow over there, with all those muscles and beautiful hair and bright eyes and swinging tail and really cool horns, eats nothing but grass and water. He doesn't eat meat, which if you stop and think about it, would be kind of gross. He doesn't drink milk unless he's a calf, and he doesn't take pills. All he does is walk around the pasture, eat grass, and sleep standing up.
You know, Sam, you're right. He's proof that we don't need all the stuff that people say we do to be healthy and strong. We just need water, food that grows on the ground, and exercise. But I don't think I'd like eating grass.
No problem. We can eat grains and vegetables and fruit. If we did, we could be as smart as a cow.
And maybe as healthy as one, too.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 5, The Search Begins. Earlier that morning back in Mill Valley, Chris dialed the telephone number for Willie's house. "Hello, Mrs. Taylor, may I speak to Willie?" he asked. "Sammy and I are going to practice the Morse code this afternoon, and we wanted him to come too." "Oh, Chris," Mrs. Taylor began. She paused to swallow a lump in her throat. "He isn't here. You may as well know that Willie and Grandpa didn't come home last night. We are very worried about them." "Where are they?" he asked. "We don't know," she said, swallowing again. "They haven't phoned. I'm afraid something happened to them. Mr. Taylor called the police, and so far they have no reports of an accident involving an old black car like Willie's Grandpa drives." Chris was concerned for his friend. "Can I do anything?" "You can pray, Chris," Mrs. Taylor said promptly. "You and the other shoebox kids could pray for them. Pray that they're safe and that they'll be found soon." "We sure will, Mrs. Taylor," Chris said. "I'll call Mrs. Shue. She'll want to be praying for Willie, too." Chris made several phone calls right away, and within 30 minutes, all of the shoebox kids were at the church. Mrs. Shue arrived 5 minutes later. "Well, kids," she said as she unlocked the big front door and led the way to the shoebox, "this really is something to worry about, but we know that Jesus sends his angels to watch over us, and we know that he loves Willie and his grandpa even more than we do." Maria spoke first. "I think we should ask Jesus to have someone find them real soon, like today or tonight." Sammy had been sitting quietly. Now he spoke up. "Let's get in a circle and start praying, okay?" Each of them prayed earnestly for Willie and his grandpa, asking Jesus to protect them and bring them home safely. "Now," Dee Dee said when they were ready to leave, "call me if you hear anything, Chris. Then I'll call you, Jenny, and you can call Sammy." "I'm going home with Chris for a while," Sammy told her. After the goodbyes, Chris and Sammy stood around awkwardly. They felt they should be doing something to find Willie, but they didn't know where to begin or what to do. "Let's go practice the code," Chris finally said. The boys were working hard on their buzzers when the doorbell rang. "Chris," Maria called, "it's Ryan." "We're in the kitchen, Ryan," Chris called. Ryan lived next door, and he was one of Chris's best friends. He visited the shoebox once in a while, so he knew Sammy. Maria shrugged. "If you can stand the noise, go on in," she said. Ryan stood in the kitchen doorway for a moment, then put his hands over his ears. "What are you guys doing? Playing with plastic pails? Come on, let's go play baseball or something." Chris and Sammy looked at each other. They didn't quite know what to say. "Willie is missing," Chris finally blurted out. He explained what they knew. "And these are butter tub transmitters. We're learning Morse code." Ryan stared closely at the butter tubs, then pushed the buzzer on Chris's. "I still say it's boring. Come on, let's go do something." "No way," Chris answered. "I want to learn Morse code. Besides, we're waiting to hear about Willie. Willie's mom is going to call here if she finds out where they are." Ryan nodded. "I understand that, but I don't understand this code stuff. I'd rather go out and do something to help find them. See you later." After Ryan left, Sammy asked, "I'd rather go out and do something too, but what could we do?" Just then, Mr. Vargas walked into the kitchen. "Hi, Dad," Chris exclaimed. "Did you hear about Willie and his grandpa?" "Wait a minute. What are you doing home in the middle of the day?" "Your mom called me at work to tell me about Willie," he said. "I knew you'd be worried, so I came home to see what we could do." "Can we do something?" Sammy asked, jumping up. "Well, how would you boys like to go help in the search?" Mr. Vargas asked. "Can we?" both boys shouted at once. "Well," he answered, "you guys make some sandwiches in case we miss supper, and I'll call Sammy's parents for permission to go with us. Maria will probably want to go, too." Before long, the boys were waiting in the back seat of the car along with their bag of sandwiches. "Come on, come on, come on," Chris muttered as they waited. Finally, his dad came out. While they waited for Maria, Mr. Vargas told the boys about the searching efforts already being done. "Willie's dad has been searching along the highway today. The state police and the county sheriff have also been notified and are keeping an eye out for them. Even small plane owners at the Mill Valley Airport have been asked to help." "Wow," Chris said. "Somebody should find them pretty soon with all those people looking." "Oh, that's not all," Mr. Vargas said. "Mr. and Mrs. Shue are going out to search this afternoon also. I think Dee Dee and Jenny are going with them. They'll go on some of the back roads in the hills just in case Willie and his grandpa decide to go roaming the hills and their car broke down." "Well, let's go," Chris urged. He leaned out the window and shouted, "Maria, hurry up, let's go." As they backed down the driveway, Chris noticed a small, boxy-looking black thing with push buttons on it in the front seat. "What's that?" he asked. "A CB radio," Mr. Vargas replied. "The sheriff's department is supplying them to the searchers. We need to stay in contact with each other. If one of us finds them, we need to let the other searchers know." "Great idea," Chris said. "Shouldn't we pray before we go?" Sammy quietly suggested. "Good thinking," Mr. Vargas said. He pulled over to the side of the road. "Would you like to pray for us, Sammy?" Sammy bowed his head and prayed for Willie and his grandpa and asked Jesus to direct the searchers. As they drove toward the edge of town, Maria asked, "Where are we going, Dad? This road doesn't go to the freeway." "No," Mr. Vargas replied, "we're going on an old road, one that isn't used much anymore. It used to be the only road between Mill Valley and the city. I don't think they'd come that way, but we want to check just in case."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 8, The Rock Slide Rescue, written by Sandy Zaug, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.